Now, you will also find in the Passover book why Deuteronomy 16 is different than Exodus 12. That's a real eye-opener. Okay. Just give you one clue. Turn back here to Deuteronomy 16. Okay. Now, as we're turning back to Deuteronomy 16, let me ask the question here. Okay. When were the Passover lambs to be slain? Right as the 14th began. Right? Okay. What did it say in Exodus 12? You select it on the 10th, and you kill it on the 14th. And it was not to be of the herd. Right? All right. So they wouldn't use a calf. Jesus is not the Passover calf. Well, read the book. Okay. Keep at it. Look, it took me years to figure it out myself. See? And the thing is this, whenever you're studying, whatever you're writing, whatever you're doing, you've got to always seek the truth, not a position, not something that's political, not to please people, but to find out what God wants to please God. I mean, if we do the things to please people just to get along with them, well then, are we pleasing God? What did Paul say? If I please men, how shall I yet please God? I mean, there was a reason. I look back now and there was a reason I was alone. So I wouldn't have the interference of any men or hierarchy trying to run and control the truth. Because you can't. You must seek the truth of God, and nothing but the truth always. See? Okay. Now that you're Deuteronomy 16, put one hand there and turn over to Exodus 12. See? And another thing that we always need to understand is this. If you're going to have discussions about the Bible, open the Bible. You know, that might help. Okay. Exodus 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep and from the goats. You shall keep it up until the beginning of the 14th of the same day. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings. And you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, the upper door post of the houses in which they shall eat it. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and you shall eat bitter herbs. You shall not eat of it raw, nor boiled at all in water, but roasted with fire, its head, and with its legs, with its inward parts, and that's the heart, the liver, and the kidneys. Okay? Was to be a lamb from the flock. Now, Deuteronomy 16. Is this a contradiction? Now, the Jews say this is authorization to sacrifice the Passover lambs at the temple. Okay? That's why it's confusing. Know this. Understand this. The first thing Satan wants to do is cause doubt. Next thing he wants to do is cause confusion. And then the next thing he wants to do is introduce heresy that sounds reasonable. Okay? All right. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 16. Keep the month of Abib and observe the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. What night is that? The night to be much observed, correct? Yes. What happened on the Passover night? Because you see, you read it this way. Keep the month of Abib and observe the Passover to the Lord your God. Full stop. Doesn't continue on. Full stop. That's one event. Okay? For in the month of Abib, the Lord God brought you forth out of the land of Egypt by night, new activity on a different night. Because he couldn't bring them forth out on the night of the 14th. Why? Because of the killing of the firstborn, correct? Now here's another thing to understand that you'll learn. So I'll just give you something to chew on and study. Just as the Passover was only to protect the firstborn, if they didn't have everything the way that it should be, and the blood was not on the doors, the firstborn would be killed, but the rest would live, correct? All right. Same way with the Passover, and Christ is our sacrifice for us. It does not apply to the world yet. When will it? When Christ returns, and that begins, trumpets, what follows trumpets? Atonement. What happens on atonement? Satan is put away, but the way of salvation is open for the rest of the world, right? And the lamb, or the ram that was for the Lord symbolized Christ, the one for Azazel symbolized Satan, correct? Okay. And that sacrifice was for all the children of Israel. See? This was for the protection of the firstborn only. So therefore, with the new covenant, the Passover only applies to those who have been called and chosen, repented and baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. It does not apply to the world. Their day is coming later. See? So I want you to understand, being chosen means you have been selected. Because of repenting to God, God has selected you. See, it is his action and drawing. Okay. Now back to Deuteronomy 16. All right. Verse 2. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering. Now it is true they had sacrifices on the day portion of the Passover at the tabernacle and the temple after they had the Passover at home. So this could properly be called a Passover sacrifice for the redemption of the firstborn. Okay? Passover offering to the Lord of the flock and the herd. Not to be of the herd with the Passover, so this cannot be Passover in the sense of the Passover meal that they had on the night of the Passover, because that's the day before we're talking about here coming out of Egypt. Okay? In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Okay? You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. With what? Those sacrifices. The bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. What day is that? 15th. Correct. Correct. Okay. Now what sacrifices were they sacrificing? Come back here to Exodus 13. See, the firstborn were spared on the Passover night. Now we have the dedication of the firstborn who have been spared, now dedicated to God. You have to be spared before you're dedicated, right? Okay. Well, let's read it here. Now, actually, the last verse of chapter 12 should be the first verse of chapter 13, so we put it that way, marked as chapter 12, 51. And it came to pass the very same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Okay? All right. Same day. That's the 15th, correct? Yes, indeed. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify all the firstborn to me. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine. Those offerings of Deuteronomy 16 on the Passover day were in preparation for the night to be much observed and the dedication and redemption of the firstborn. That's what they were for. We'll see that in just a minute. Okay? Verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord has brought you forth from this place with the strength of his hand. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. And that was his speech just before they left. So here it is on the 14th, the sun is going down. Moses is saying, we're ready to leave. Throw away all your McDonald's wrappers and get ready to go. Okay. They had to have it all organized. Now, let's come down here to verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but in the weeks leading up before the Passover, that's when a lot of lambs are born. And you have a firstborn male. What are you going to do when you go to the temple? You're going to take that one with you and you're going to offer it. It goes to God. That's for the priests and their families. Now, is every firstborn a male? No. No. What if it's a female? What do you do then? Okay, this will help answer the question. Okay, come back here to, so hold your place here because we'll come back in Exodus. Okay, let me find the, okay. Okay, Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Now this is talking about what is commonly understood as the festival tithe. Because you can't take the tithe of God, right? What does it say in Leviticus 27? If you take any of the tithe of God, what do you have to do? You replace it with 20%, one-fifth. Okay? You can't touch that. That belongs to God. See? Okay. So here it is. You shall truly tithe the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses to place his name there. Okay? The tithe of your grain, that has to be for the feast. Of your wine, for the feast. Of your oil, for the feast. And the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, those have to be the females. Because the male belonged to God. If it belongs to God, you can't eat it. So God is not contradicting himself here, see? Okay? So beginning on the Passover day, that's when they, because there were a lot of sacrifices to take place, that's when they sacrificed on the Passover day for the night to be much observed, the firstborn of the female for the feast, the firstborn that was the male that went to the priests, and the firstborn redemption of all the unclean. What did God say? If the firstborn is a donkey, if you don't redeem it with a lamb, break its neck. Now you might look at that and say, God means business, doesn't he? See? Okay. Likewise, you had firstborn children. Okay? The males are dedicated to God and you redeem them. with a lamb. That sacrifice was given leading up to the night to be much observed. Okay? So their night to be much observed was really a whoopee-doo, much bigger than what we've ever thought. And there was no early to bed. Okay, come over here to Deuteronomy 16, we'll see. Now, if you read this without understanding, and if you read it from the point of view of the firstborn, from the flock and the herd, then you will understand Deuteronomy 16. Now let's read it here. Back to Deuteronomy 16. Okay. You may not sacrifice the Passover offering within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, and that's what becomes confusing, but this is the offering on the day portion of the Passover for the night to be much observed, because that's what it's talking about. Okay? If this meant the Passover lamb itself, it's already defined as from the flock and the herd, so it has to be the redemption. Then Jesus kept the Passover on the wrong day. This is what the Jews argue, you see. And that you're no longer to have a domestic Passover. Then why did Jesus have a domestic Passover? See? That's why the book. Okay. But at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there, there you shall sacrifice the Passover offering at sunset, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. Okay? And that's Ba'erev. Let me find something. Did I miss something here? Okay. I missed verse 4. Okay. There shall no leavened bread be seen with you in all your borders for 7 days, nor shall any of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day at sunset remain until morning. Aha, that's got to be the Passover lamb, because it says none to remain till morning. However, all firstborn offerings were peace offerings. And none of the peace offerings were to remain until morning either. Okay? All right. Hadn't come to it yet. Okay. All right. Still have your place in Exodus 12? Okay, go back to Exodus 12. Okay? Okay. Verse 8. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and with unleavened bread. You shall not eat it with bitter herbs. Do not eat of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted with fire, its head and its legs with its inward parts. Okay, now come back to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 7. Now the King James Version does not have it correct. Had to hunt this one down. This took quite a while to hunt this down. Verse 7. And you shall boil and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. Okay? So you had sacrifices by fire. You had sacrifices which were sacrificed and then put into the pot and boiled. Okay? So this could not be the Passover with the lamb, but these are Passover day offerings in preparation for the night to be much observed. Okay? Now notice. You shall boil it and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and in the morning turn and go to your tents. They stayed up all night. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Now that's the only place it says 6 days. Why does it say 6 days? Because after the night to be much observed, you go to your tents in the morning, then how many more days of unleavened bread do you have? Six. Okay. So there's some people who read that and say, well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is only 6 days. I mean, every imaginable thought going against the Passover men have come up with. It's really something, but this is difficult to understand. Really, it is. And when you get into research that is difficult, you have to stick with it, and you can't make any conclusions until you really get to the meat of the matter. Otherwise, you're going to make a mistake. Now, how many have read the paper by Lester Grabe and Robert Kuhn? Well, if you had read it, you would know. None of you have read it. Now, that's the thing. Let me tell you what happened here. In 1975, we had a ministerial conference in Pasadena where Lester Grabe and Robert Kuhn. How many have heard of Robert Kuhn? Okay. Why would the son of Kuhn Loeb banking family have come to Ambassador College? Which he did. Didn't take him very long to get next to GTA. But I believe his mission was for this one thing, to try and get the church to keep the Passover on the wrong day. Or, if he couldn't do that, to call it by something else. So therefore, that's why GTA started calling it the Lord's Supper. Okay? See, there's a lot of intrigue in this thing you didn't know anything about. Okay. And it all started with that Passover paper. And I've still got it with it all marked up with why their reasoning was incorrect. And that paper was the beginning of understanding, because it was this. In 1974, I published the first Harmony of the Gospels. How many still have that? Okay, you do? Oh, that many. Good, good. Okay. And I put in there that if anything else came up concerning the Passover, I'd be sure and let everyone know, you know. And so I had to be true to my word. If there was something that needed to be changed, and if what was presented by Grabe and Kuhn proved to be correct from the Bible, we should follow it. After all, the argument is the Jews can't be wrong. But what happens with experience and study, you find out the Jews are rarely right. And many of the things that they publish in English, they put in disinformation so that the Gentiles won't keep the things. They absolutely abhor Gentiles keeping the feast days. Okay. So stuck with a problem. The basic thing of the paper went this way. They sacrificed the lamb at the ending of the 14th. They ate it, and as soon as the killing of the firstborn of the Egyptians was done, they left their homes and assembled into Ramses and left the next night. What did God say to do? Stay in your house until morning. Bokur. Sunrise. How could they leave at midnight? Well, they calculated time the same way that we calculate time today, a little after midnight. Oh, really? They had battery-operated wristwatches, huh? Okay. So what was the crux of the whole matter? The two words. Ba'erev, Beinar Ba'im. Okay. Where in the Bible did God use those two words in a chronological way? And if we could not find it in the Bible, then the Jews would have to be right. Is that a fair proposition? And if they were right, then we would have to follow what they said. So where in the Bible do we find clear distinction between, no, not Numbers 9, no, Exodus 16. Okay. Exodus 16. Okay. Now we'll go there. Right now, even in the King James, you can figure this out. Okay. But I remember my first year in church, the minister said the word even, E-V-E-N, is at the beginning of the day. The word evening, E-V-E-N-I-N-G, is at the end of the day. Here I am at my first Passover at Unleavened Bread. This was in 1961. So I said, okay, I'll accept that. Being new, I had no tools to prove it or anything. And so, here came the challenge. The Jews are right and the church is wrong. And a Jew, high level, well-educated, author, highly respected, is telling us we're wrong. And so, I had to search out and find it. And so, not knowing very much Hebrew, still don't, that's why we had Michael Heiss do all the work on the Old Testament. I got a Hebrew interlinear. Okay. And that helped solve the problem in Deuteronomy 16 between roasted, because your King James says they roasted it, see, but the Hebrew says boiled. So I was able to look up the word and say, aha, you're not to boil Passover lamb. So this cannot be the Passover, see. Now likewise, you have to find a place where God used the language in a chronological way. Here we have it right here. Okay? And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the month, of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. Now we know from the context, we'll see in just a little bit, this day was a Sabbath. Now what does this allow us to do? If you have a known given day, 15th day of the second month, okay? And you know that the first month has 30 days. Second month has 29 days. Well, and you know it's a Sabbath. What you can do is put a little box here and put 15 and the Sabbath. And then you go backwards, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, so forth, all the way. And you come back. And when was the Passover in Egypt? Tuesday night. Middle of the week. Okay? Same sequence when Christ was crucified. Right? Okay. Now, for all of those of you who are really up on this, I want you to think on this. Okay? Think carefully. We start counting for Pentecost. Okay? We have seven complete weeks. Seven, right? Okay? On the day after the seventh Sabbath is Pentecost. Guess what the number of the month of Sivan is for that sequence when it's in the middle of the week? No, it's eight. It's eight. Okay? Eight is the number of a new beginning, right? So there's Pentecost, new beginning, receiving the law. Same way when Christ was crucified, the same sequence. Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, the new beginning. The eighth day of the month and the first day of the eighth week. I mean, sometimes these numbers just get mind-boggling. Christ was crucified on the 14th, which is in the middle, which then is, you have 7 days leading up to it, and you have 7 days of unleavened bread after. Right? Now, the one who's a real expert on that is Dwight Blevins. How many know Dwight Blevins? Anybody here know Dwight Blevins? Harp maker. He's got some stuff on the calendar that'll blow your mind. The 7-day weekly cycle and the scale all fit. The Sabbath is built into the creation. The Passover is built into the creation. See, God is so great, He has so many things, it's incredible. Okay. All right. So here it is on the Sabbath. They complain. So God said, verse 4, I'll rain for you bread from heaven, shall go out and gather a certain amount each day, prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And then the 6th day you shall pick up double. Okay, verse 6. Now here's the Sabbath day he's speaking to them. At sunset. Now that's what that evening means. Sunset. Ba'erev. Then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt at sunrise, which is what? Sunday morning. Booker. You shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmuring against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, you will see when the Lord shall give you flesh to eat at sunset. Receive it at sunset. Why wait until sunset? Why not stop the riot right now and send it now? Because it's on the Sabbath day. And God wasn't going to have them break the Sabbath day, nor was God going to break the Sabbath day by sending them quail to fulfill their desires. So he sent it at sunset. And sunset does what to the Sabbath? It ends it. Right? Yes. Okay. Sunrise, that's Sunday morning. Okay, verse 9. Say to all the children of Israel, so forth and so on. Okay. Now let's come here to verse 12. God says, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak to them, saying, between the two evenings, Bein Harbaim, between sunset and dark, you shall eat flesh. Okay? He sent the quail at Ba'erev, which is sunset. You can't eat them before they arrive. Can you? No, you can't. So they arrive. You skin them very quickly, like we spoke of earlier. And then, between sunset and dark, you eat them. Here's a chronological place of sunset, Bein Harbaim, used by God, not by Moses, not a mistake by man, not a mistranslation, but the truth from the Word of God. Now we have the answer. What evening means what? With a proper understanding right here. So I've got a footnote. You can read the footnote there. Okay? So that's how we understand some of these things. Okay? Now, likewise with the whole Bible. Okay? The translation can be better. The understanding can be better. And we're getting rid of all the typos. Thank you for your watching out for those. But with millions of words, it took 11 editions for the King James to get there. And there's one edition that they had a real bad, bad, bad typo. It's called the adultery version. Because the typesetter forgot to put, you shall not. And he put, you shall commit adultery. Whoopee! You talk about a big blooper. Hoo-hoo! Okay. That one sells for hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know. Here it is right in the Bible. Okay, line up. Let's have adultery. It says, you shall commit adultery. No. Okay. So that's how we solve the problems. But if you don't study, if you're not used to going through the scriptures and you're not taught to do that and you are not given the responsibility to prove all things yourself, but just listen to what the minister says and follow what he says, then you're set up to be led astray. See? That's why I see, and I'll finish with this, I see where, as I mentioned last night, our direct relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is the key to everything that we do. See? Sabbath becomes a greater day of fulfillment when we do that all during the week. Because we have God's Spirit, He's teaching us, we're yielded to God, we're hungering and thirsting for His Word, we want to live by every word of God, we're crying out to God to lead us and to help us. Then, if we all have this kind of relationship during the week, when we come together on the Sabbath, it's a great Sabbath. Everyone loves each other. We don't have to worry about politics. We don't have to worry about, you know, stupid things, right? We can love God. We can study His Word. That's what it's all about. And I think with church at home, it's going to be that way much more than it has in the past. This thing of running off to a church, and you get in within a group, and you stay within the group, you see, like Protestantism and Catholicism have, getting together as a group is now going to be a much more special thing. See? And it's not going to be for control. It's going to be for learning. It's not going to be for picking pockets. It's going to be for upbuilding your spiritual condition. Now, a blessing happens both ways with that all the way around. Whenever those who are teaching do that and teach the brethren, God teaches them. And they teach the brethren. And God teaches them. Because God wants us all to be lifted by Christ. To be as He is, as the teacher. That's what it is all about. The mind of Christ in you, you see. I mean, this is a fantastic thing that God is doing. It's not a church or who's in charge. It's Christ is in charge. And He's doing His work. And we need to yield to God. That everything... We receive the blessing of God. Then when troubles come, we have strength. Then when heresy enters in, we have knowledge. Then when lies put themselves up, we have truth. And we don't have to be carried away with any of those things, see? Okay, well, I'm running out of time.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.